Welcome. Welcome. Lisa and Willie, welcome, and all the kids, welcome back. Praise the Lord. How great is our God? How great is our God? What a wonderful, fulfilling moment it is when we don't just say, how great is our God? We pause and think about how great is our God. Yeah. How many of you feel like you have gotten a way better deal than you ever expected with God? You know, I mean, I was overwhelmed this week as I felt like, you know, truly God is no respecter of persons, but man, I just feel like I've had a special deal. And we all have. And we've got a special deal that continues to flow. And a special deal that as we grow, we come to know that it's more special. As we just enter into that, we come into his presence with thanksgiving in our hearts, and we give him praise. I don't know how many of you happened to see it, but Lisa was worshiping, and pretty soon the whole front row was up with their hands up. You know, they're watching her. They didn't totally comprehend, I'm sure, but they were watching her. And then I think there came a time when they realized that she wasn't watching them and they began to do other things. And I thought, well, how much is that like us sometimes? We lose sight of the fact that he is watching us and we're off doing something else. But the truth is that it isn't just because we lose sight of the fact that he's watching us. We're comfortable with God. And sometimes we find ourselves off doing something else. And when we find ourselves doing something else, we know that we just come back to him. We just come back to him. And, you know, it's a complex, simple thing. In that we come back to him, but he's never left us. He said, I'll never leave you and I'll never forsake you. How do we get away from him? Well, nothing can separate me from the Lord. If I go to heaven, he's there. If I go to hell, he's there. I mean, nothing can separate him except my awareness that he's with me. Have you ever sat together with someone and sort of forgot they were there? Focused on something else. Sometimes Vicki and I will be watching a television program, and I've said that I had to develop a real ability to just focus so I could ever hear the television, not just because I don't always hear everything, but because there was always a lot of stuff going on. And so sometimes I will be sitting there and I will be focused and I'll look and Vicki's gone. And I never saw her leave. I don't have any idea where she went. I don't know when she left. So I pause the TV. And when she comes back, I say, you should tell me you left. And oftentimes she'll say, I asked you to pause it. It's no problem. I don't have total recall. We just rewind to where she last was watching, and we can watch it again. Isn't it good that God gives us a rewind? That we can come back to him? That he says, draw near to me, and I'll draw near to you. And even though he's never left us, we're a lot nearer to him when we're focused on him than when we're not focused on him. Right? Isn't it true? That there's a difference in, we wander through our life and we're busy and we got all kinds of things to distract us and we haven't, you know, we know God's with us and we never forget about God and we would never deny God, but we're just going along and all of a sudden we stop and we think of God and, wow, it's so much better when we're thinking about Him because we're near Him. It's like stopping to just give somebody a hug. You've been with them. You may have been visiting with them. You maybe been doing all kinds of stuff together. But when I just come to Vicki and I just give her a hug, she seems to like it. You know? Sometimes God doesn't need a thing, but sometimes He does. He desires a hug from us. He desires an acknowledgement from us. He desires a thank you, Jesus, at 3:00 in the afternoon on Wednesday. You know, just thank you, Jesus. Just thank you, Lord. I love you, Lord. I love you, Lord. I love you, Lord. I just do. I have had, since before I was born, a better deal than I could have earned, and so have you. Because it's by grace through faith. Not of works, lest anyone should boast. The only thing that brings me closer to God is me coming closer to God. It's not, boy, I did good there, didn't I, Lord? I've actually found with the Lord sometimes when I was not really certain how well I had done that He will say, that was good. You know, Willie Nelson has a song, you know, You Were Always on My Mind. Show me if there's a way I can keep you satisfied. I should have told you more often. I should have held you more often. You know, that's how I feel about God sometimes, especially for the years before that. It would be a lie to say you were always on my mind, but boy, I should have told you. I should have appreciated you, but I didn't know, and I can't make up for those times, but the good thing about it is those times are gone, and we have today. We have today. Yesterday's gone, sweet Jesus. All I'm asking of you, show me the way, one day at a time. He doesn't look at the past. He doesn't try to fix the past. He comforts us now and prepares us for the future. The Lord bless you and keep you. I know that I have been blessed and kept. And being blessed and kept is wonderful. Today when I typed in, I said in the devotional, I typed in, the Lord bless you and keep you, the verse. And spell check wanted it to be the Lord blesses you and keeps you. It didn't like the Lord bless you and keep you. It had an understanding. It doesn't have any idea about being kept. But it had an understanding that we should understand the Lord blesses you. And the Lord keeps you. You are blessed and kept. Say, I am blessed and I am kept. Microsoft Word knows that the Lord blesses and keeps you. But it doesn't have perfect understanding. Does that sound like us? By faith, we believe that the Lord blesses us and keeps us, but we don't have perfect understanding of it. The enemy comes to steal, kill, and destroy. He comes to steal our awareness of God's blessing. Remember Jesus hanging on the cross? They said, "Where is your God now? If you are God's son, why don't you save yourself?" Did Jesus think, "If I do, you're toast"? He just kept his focus on what he knows to be a promise. That's us, to keep our focus on the fact the Lord blesses me. The Lord keeps me. The Lord is blessing me even when I can't see it. He's blessing me. The Lord is blessing me. I am blessed. How can you say that you're blessed? Because God says that I'm blessed. And I'm going to focus on how blessed I am. And when I'm having a hard time seeing the blessing, then I can think about how the Lord has kept me. And in his keeping me, he has blessed me. You led me through the fire. I've been through some fires. I was through fires before I met Jesus, and I've been through some fires since I met Jesus. And I find it more comfortable to focus on Jesus than on the fires. I find it to be true that when I keep my eyes on Jesus, it's easier for old things to pass away and for all things to become new. That's why he wants us to keep our eyes on him and keep our eyes on the truth that the Lord blesses you and he keeps you. And he never leaves you and he never forsakes you. In this world you will have tribulation, but rejoice, I've overcome it. I've overcome it, so you go ahead and rejoice. Just go ahead and just rejoice. The Lord says, rejoice. Jesus said, rejoice. I've overcome it. I rejoice in advance. Rejoice in the midst. Rejoice in looking back. Rejoice in looking forward. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say, rejoice. Don't think that the Lord doesn't know your situation or your circumstances. Don't think that the Lord doesn't care. If you hear something in your heart or in your spirit that says the Lord doesn't care, you know where that came from. That just comes from the enemy. He's just trying to get you. The devil came to try to get Jesus. Jesus said, "Now, I'll just live by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. And I won't test the Lord. I don't need to test the Lord. I will test how well you, devil, can stand up against the word of God. Depart from me. You have no part in me. You don't have any part in me." We don't have to yell at him. We don't have to be afraid of him. We just let him know, "I'm not listening to you. I don't need to listen to you." I don't know, Vicki and I were watching some show. I forget the shows, but we were watching this show, and this guy's a detective. I mean, I can solve just about any crime. We've watched enough detective shows. But this guy was fighting voices in his head. And in the show, of course, were just voices, they were people. Not live people, dead people, but fighting voices in his head. That's what it was. All they did was they just showed a picture of what goes on. You fight voices in your head sometimes. I'm not talking about everybody hears stuff, but I'm saying you got voices that go off in your head. You've got things that exalt themselves against the knowledge of God. You've got things that go against what you know to be oh so true. And sometimes this guy would be choking the voice, which looked a little strange to the people around him. But he was very good at what he did. And when he would find himself with no more vision of the voice, and finally he'd straighten himself up and walk on. In a spiritual sense, we go through some of those things. And sometimes we become convinced that the enemy has more power than he does. Because it seems as though things just keep coming. But God has given us an escape. He has given us a comforter. He has given us the Holy Spirit who stirs in us. Before we ever came to know the Lord, the Holy Spirit was working so that we might know the love of God. And there may have been times when we sort of experienced it, but we didn't know what it was. We couldn't put a finger on it, as they say. But when the presence of God comes, it's good. It's good. And because we live in a world that is relatively bad, maybe more than relatively, the world is destructive and evil and all kinds of every manner of thing. Because we live in the midst of that, that little bit of good makes more of an impression than we realize. A touch here and a touch there and a touch here and a touch there and another touch and another touch and every time we have experienced that, we liked it. We really did, but we weren't before God in our lives. We weren't certain what it was, but we knew it was good. You know, it's like tasting a new food and you really like the taste. But you don't know the name for sure. But oftentimes after that, you will eat something and it will remind you of that taste. There are things that go on in our lives to remind us that God's for us. And so what a joy it is when we come to understand that it's the Lord who blesses and keeps us. And then we understand that He doesn't bless us and keep us just a touch here and a touch there and a touch here and a touch there, but He's always. I am with you always. So now we know where to look. Now we know where to turn. Now we remember the Lord our God. And that's what He asks of us. He doesn't ask us to get ourselves perfect. He asks us to enjoy His perfection. He asks us to just enter in to the joy of the Lord. The joy is present. The joy of the Lord is like a favorite chair. The joy of the Lord is always there. We just turn to it. And we can turn to the joy of the Lord. We, you know, Bob Dylan's song about, you know, he said, it'll stone you when you're walking down the street. You know, we can turn into the goodness of God anytime, anywhere. Just, we have a ramp, we can just pull over anywhere. There's wide shoulders on the road so that we can just pull over into the presence of God. We can just turn. Just turn to him. Abide with me, the Lord says. So abide with him wherever we are, whatever we're doing. We know that when we are abiding in the Lord, when we are experiencing the Lord, things are pretty good. In fact, sometimes when we're abiding in the Lord, I know from my own experience, okay, I've been abiding in the Lord and got it irritated at things that distracted me. And then I think, here I was. I was in the presence of the Lord and doing real good. Now I get irritated. I mean, I'm sitting there in my chair and I'm obviously in prayer, and Vicky steps into the room and stands there. You know that you know when somebody is standing there. And so I'm trying to stay in prayer, and she's trying to figure out if I'm really in prayer. And she's thinking, well, if he looks up at me, he must not have been in prayer. I'm thinking for her. And I'm thinking, if she'll go away, I'll go back to prayer. Generally, she wins, and yes, dear. I put on a phony smile. Try not to look irritated. Oh, I just was wondering. That's okay. It's okay. If I can't get back there, it's not her fault. Because God hasn't left. We are not going to handle everything perfectly. But we can stay close to the one who does. Sister Barb is in a battle and she's fighting something she's already won. You know? But the enemy comes and tries to flood and tries to cause all kinds of stuff. And we can all sit around and just imagine the crap that comes at her. Excuse my language. But you know? And then the wonderful advice people might have. I've told you about this before. You remember my friends from Chicago? They had a split up and then they had a makeup and they were doing just fine and they got home, and then I get a phone call and says, Roger, what do we do? I said, what do you mean, what do we do? Our kids say we can't just forgive each other. We've got to take time. We can't just go back together. We've got to take time. I said, don't listen to your children. And they didn't, and they did fine. And that's what we have to do with the enemy. Don't listen to the enemy. Listen to what God says. God's blessing me. God's keeping me. God's got his hand upon me. God's eyes are ever before me. God is my rescuer. He's my deliverer. He's my comforter. God's blessing me. God is keeping me. You know? If we're going to repeat the thoughts of the fight that the enemy does against us, if we're going to meditate on those things, then we're going to go in that direction. But if we say, you don't have any part of me, this is not a conversation I should be in. Sometimes Vicky does the shopping for shows and she says, well, we should try this one. And sometimes we don't get very far into that one before that's not a place we want to be. Exit, stage right. That's easy enough to do. And it's just as easy to just step aside from those things that exalt themselves against the knowledge of God and wrap ourselves up in the fact that the Lord blesses me and the Lord keeps me. You know, it's interesting. When I was a kid, coming up in school and singing solos, you know? Every solo that I sang in high school could have got me saved. You know? The very first one I sang was, I am a poor wayfaring stranger. while traveling through this world below. There is no sickness, toil, or danger in that bright world to which I go. I had no idea exactly what it meant, but it was appropriate. I sang it in church. It was the day that I sang that in church that my mother said, I never knew Roger could sing. I had been hammering on the piano and singing for 8 years at home, writing songs, doing all kinds of stuff. All she could do was hear that it was too loud. But since everybody said, wow, Roger did a nice job, I never knew he could sing. You know, there's a lot of things that we never knew we could do until we met Jesus. And when we look at it, we say, wow, it was true. Another one I sang was, somebody bigger than you and I. Who made the mountains? Who made the trees? Who makes the rivers flow to the seas? And who hung the moon in the starry sky? Well, somebody bigger than you and I. Great song. And then I sang one called The Lost Chord. And The Lost Chord had a high note. And I was singing it in a contest in Aberdeen, South Dakota. That's the one where the big chandelier is up there. And I go, it may be that only in heaven I will hear that great amen. And that chandelier is just going in a big arc. Well, I said, that's weird. I told Eloise Jennings about it. Eloise said, the Lord was talking to you. But the Lord was blessing me and keeping me even then. Man, I mean to tell you, it was busy for him. But not a problem. It's nothing for God to help. Nothing for God to help. Just before I got saved, and I was writing music, and I was writing piano bar music, and one of the songs was Joe Cool. You're such a fool. Who was I writing about? Me. And the ladies loved that song. They loved it. Because it painted a perfect picture of what fools men are. I didn't know that until after the fact. But I believe that those kind of things were the Spirit playing tricks with me, blessing me and keeping me, and ultimately saving me. There are so many people that have no idea how much God loves them. They just don't know. You know? And if you stay far away from enough from God, you can do just about anything and the enemy will comfort you. And he will console you if you should happen to be, you know. I mean, we're living in a world where hatred has just taken people over. And they have to hate because that's what they're supposed to do. And they wouldn't dare to soften. But God makes us in such a way that we don't dare not love. We can try. We can try, you know. I mean, do you ever try to be angry? Sure you do. But fortunately, the Lord fights harder than we do. But you know, I mean, sometimes it's my right. I deserve to be angry for just a little while. But you're not good at it anymore. You're just not, you know. The whole time that you're angry, you're thinking, this doesn't fit right. You know, this morning I got up and I pull on my clothes in the dark and I put on my shirt and I just wasn't sure. It was a turtleneck. I wasn't sure that I got it on right. But I wore it for quite a while. Now see, if this shirt, if I put it on backwards, I would know right away, you know. But I was doing stuff and I just wasn't sure. And finally I pulled that turtleneck. Yeah, I thought so. I didn't have it on right. And I just turned it around and it felt a whole lot better. Sometimes we're going to put on attitudes. Sometimes we're going to put on things that they just don't feel right, you know. I mean, they just don't feel right, but it's not convenient to change them just yet. I mean, it's like when I told you the scenario, Vicky and I, and she's just standing there, you know. I'm thinking it doesn't do me any good to sit here with my eyes closed thinking, why didn't she just go away? She knows better than to just stand there. Can't she see I'm in my holy spot? Doesn't do me any good to think that. It's just not going to work. But do I instantly bounce out of it and do it just right? No. Does God forgive me if I don't just bounce out of it and do it just right? Yeah. Yeah. Because he's promised to bless me and keep me. It is the power of God working in us mightily to accomplish that which God wants accomplished for us. He put the pressure on himself to accomplish abundantly above and beyond what we could hope or imagine. The pressure is on him to accomplish us. All we have to do is accept it. I want you, Lord, to do what you want. Your will be done, Lord. You know, I mean, we know the prayer, thy kingdom come, thy will be done, thy will be done, thy will be done. I can't improve on that. I can't think of anything that's going to be better than his will. Doesn't mean I can't think of other things. It's just that I can't think of anything that's going to be better than his will. I can come up with lots of scenarios that'll be just what I think, but they won't be better than his will, because we experience the fact that he can do abundantly above and beyond what we can hope or imagine. He can. And so sometimes all we have to do is just stop and look what the Lord has done. Look what the Lord has done. He healed my body. He touched my mind. He saved me just in time. I'm going to praise his name. Based on his past performance, we can trust him to accomplish his future. Exactly. You know, the disclaimer in the stock market is, you know, past performance does not guarantee any success. So even though we tell you a bunch of stuff, don't think that we're going to stand by the stuff we told you. But listen to us anyway and invest. That isn't the Lord. The Lord says, what I have done is nothing compared to what I can do. And so we realize that he blesses us and he keeps us. Praise his holy name. Give him all the glory. Exalt him. All heaven shouts glory. I don't think we can be louder than heaven, but I think he likes what we say more. It's that special blessing. It's that blessing that's coming. Get ready. Get ready. Get ready. Get ready. The Lord is doing something. And when you behold it, you're going to love it. So get warmed up. Get ready for it. And when the Lord does what he does, receive it. Just receive it. Just receive it. Sometimes the Lord just puts a blessing in front of us and we don't even recognize it as the Lord. As maybe we've got something that's resisting it. Maybe we've got something that is not ready for it. Maybe we've got something that we've decided and so we can't see it. You know? Another little story about my mother was when she wouldn't let me buy a 1951 Ford. But she had, that's the story of when she gave me the same amount to buy a car that she gave my brother 5 years earlier. But I ordered the car anyway. And I came home and I showed her the car I ordered. Beautiful silver Gran Torino. And my mother said, "We bought Dave a yellow car." "I don't want a yellow car. I want this beautiful silver Gran Torino. I mean, I'm going to pay for most of it anyway. But we bought Dave a yellow car." I left the house. I remember well. I sprinted from my house to the Pioneer Garage. I don't know what expletives I used, but I said, "It's got to be the yellow one." And I turned around and I ran back home. I forgive you, Mom. At the time, you know, but that wasn't what she had in mind. Who cares what she had in mind? Apparently I did. But I do care what God has in mind. And we should all care what God has in mind. And so in those moments when we recognize that our thinking or our seeing or our planning doesn't fit into God's puzzle, we just back away from it and let the Lord bless us and keep us. Because the Lord blesses you and he keeps you. And he makes his face to shine upon you. And he's gracious to you and he gives you peace. At any time, anywhere, you can enter into the joy of the Lord. Because he keeps it right close to you. It follows you around. You know, like Linus in the Peanuts cartoon, you know, had that cloud that wandered over him, you know. Well, we've got a cloud of the joy of the Lord that just stays close to us. Goes everywhere that we go. It's like the beings in Daniel and in Ezekiel, that they've got all these eyes and they've got all these wheels and they just... You know, man tries to imitate those things with the robots and stuff like that, but nobody can do it like the Lord. So you are blessed and you are kept. But even though you are blessed and you are kept, the Bible tells us to keep ourselves in the love of the Lord. He's there for us. Just enter in. Amen. Thank you, Lord, that we are blessed and we are kept. That all our lives you've been faithful. All our lives you've been so, so good. And now the eyes of our understanding are opening and we're seeing it more and more and more and more and more, because as the darkness tries, it cannot stop the light. The light of the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ flows to us and through us. And it's greater. It's greater. Lord, as you gave Judy a word, that you're raising us up like lights in the darkness. That's the word for the body of Christ. Shine, shine. Lord, we will shine. Shine, Jesus, shine. So that the world behold your glory right through our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Amen.